In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Good to see you all here tonight. So, this month has been a momentous month in the Jernigan household. Some of you know we have three kids, 8, 5, and 3. And our three-year-old is growing up a bit. And earlier this month, for the first time in 8 years, we have no more diapers at home. We have no more crib at home. There is no more sound monitor that I have to listen to all night long when I'm trying to sleep. It has been the most peaceful month that we have had in 8 years. It's been a thrill. And, you know, I just have to admit, and I can do this because there aren't many babies here, I don't really like babies. I mean, don't get me wrong, other people's babies are great because I don't have to take them home with me. But my own babies are exhausting. They need to be cared for every minute of the day. You can't just leave them. You have to feed them, you have to bathe them, you have to change their diapers, you have to go in umpteen times in the middle of the night and get them back to sleep. It's awful. And now that we are finally through it, I have to admit, it's been harder than usual for me to get into the Christmas spirit, to hear again the story of Jesus being born. I don't know, maybe it's bringing back PTSD or something. No more babies. I've had enough. I'll baptize them, that's fine, but I don't want to care for them. Because at the end of the day, I have to know, one thing I know about myself is that I don't like messes. I like things to be nice and neat and orderly and to have everything in its place. And babies make that absolutely impossible. Toddlers aren't much better, but they're a little bit better than babies. But hearing this story again and again, we're reminded that Jesus is born into the mess. Jesus is not born to clean up the mess. Jesus is born right smack into it. Jesus, the one that we believe is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he's going to sit on the throne of his ancestor David. He's not born in a palace surrounded by nobles. He's not born in a place of order and rule and simplicity. He's born into the chaos and into the mess of a stable, surrounded by animals, surrounded by shepherds. Jesus is born into the mess. And that frustrates us, or at least I will say it frustrates me. Because in my own life, when I think of God, I think of God as someone who I hope will clean up the mess. That God will help clean up the mess in my own life, help set it straight, put things right back in order. Because at the end of the day, that's what we want when we ask God to answer our prayers. When we pray to God, we come to God with the mess of our lives, and we ask God to clean it up. God doesn't do that. Instead, God sends us what God wants for us, not what we want from God. So thinking about Jesus as a king, if you go all the way back to the first book of Samuel, which I'm sure all of you have read a few times, you'll learn that Israel did not always have kings. Shortly after Israel was brought out of Egypt into the Promised Land, and they settled in the Promised Land, and the nation of Israel was kind of settled and established, they didn't have kings. They had judges, and they had prophets. And the last great prophet was Samuel, and he had sons who were the last judges over Israel. The problem with them was that they were horribly corrupt, absolutely horribly corrupt. But the people came to Samuel, and instead of saying, "Give us better judges," they said, "We want a king." The problem is that God had always been the people's king. Whenever they were in the midst of chaos, it looked like the waves were going to overwhelm them, it looked like they were going to going to starve or that everything was going to fall apart. God was always there. Always there to keep Israel together. To keep them intact. Keep everything okay. But they didn't trust God. They said, no, 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 we want a king. And Samuel said, I don't really think you guys know what you're asking for. And Samuel went to God. Samuel says, God, everybody wants a king. And God says, well, tell them what they're going to get. So God begins to speak to the Israelites. And he says, these will be the ways of the kings who are going to reign over you. They're going to take your sons and appoint them in their army. They're going to take your daughters and turn them into cooks and bakers and perfumers. He's going to take all of your fields and your vineyards and your olive orchards. He's going to give them to his nobles. The king will take 1/10 of your grain and he'll give that to his officers. He'll take your flocks, he'll take your servants, and in that day you're going to cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day. And even after all that, the people said, yeah, but we'll still take a king. And guess what? Every single king, except for maybe three, proved God right. Over 30 or 40 generations, they were absolutely terrible. Every single one was corrupt, just as corrupt as one of Samuel's sons. Every single one took from the people, oppressed the people, yada, 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 it goes on. But see, the people thought they knew what they wanted. Thought they wanted order. They thought they wanted everything to be simple. They wanted protection. They wanted a king that was going to grant them a bunch of gifts, turn them into nobles, give them castles and servants and vineyards and all of that stuff. But they had forgotten what God had always given, which was God's presence. So here, we hear this story. We don't so much believe in kings anymore, but we do want God to clean up the mess. Sometimes you might think it would be better if the Messiah had come as, I don't know, an accountant. Imagine, Jesus Christ, Son of God, CPA. or an engineer. Something to make order out of chaos. But instead, the Son of God, the Son of God from on high, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, comes into this world as a crying, helpless, needy baby. And in that moment, shepherds are out in their field, and the angels cry out to them, and that veil between heaven and earth is lifted. Heaven and earth are molded together, merged together. And for a moment, we get a glimpse of what God wants for us. God wants for us to know that we are loved, to know that we are cherished, to know that we are held in the arms of God, just like Jesus was held in the arms of Mary, and to know that despite all of our efforts to push God away, God will always break through the veil between heaven and earth and come to us. All those moments in our lives when we want the mess to be cleaned up, when we want the chaos to end, when we want things to get back to normal, we believe in a God who's with us in the chaos. We believe in a God who walks with us in the mess. And that's the good news. That is the message that the angels sing, glory and joy and wonder to our newborn King. The one who reminds us that God is always with us. Whether we know it or not, whether we see it or not, whether we value it or not, God is there. Because God loves us, and God cares for us, enough to send God's Son to be born Virgin Mary, be with us always. Be with us tonight. It's the wonder of this season, the wonder of this night. Merry Christmas. You know that God is with you. Amen. Amen. Amen.